turning again this morning, and if you would turn with me to Colossians in chapter 1, paying special attention this morning to Paul's words from verse 9 through to verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, from 9 to 12. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you were a Christian in Colossae, to know of Paul's thankfulness on your behalf, as he's spoken of in his prayers in the previous verses, 3 through to 8, to know that thanksgiving should be a great encouragement. But as we observed, the way that he speaks of these things are also great teaching, if we will listen. Such a good reminder of all that we have if we are in Christ Jesus. Paul would be the first to say, these things are not complete yet. We ought to confess that to be so. But it is a reminder that these things have begun, that these things are there, are within, if we are in Christ. For a church leader, as Paul was, and for those who might have been reading this out before the assembled congregation, this is also a rebuke to make sure that he thinks, that I think about God's people in the right way, the ones that God has given me to take care of. It is great instruction to a leader also to make sure that we keep things in the right order before you. Christ first, second, third, and through all things. And so we may be encouraged by thinking in the way that Paul thinks, even as he gives thanks. We ought to be urged on to thankfulness as well ourselves. Even if things, especially in the church, are far short of your ideal, that's going to be far short of Christ's ideal, and He is still seeking you. Let us be thankful. But as we read on, let us listen. Paul is telling us more about his prayers for us. He has been giving thanks. He's told us why he gives thanks. But he has some things to ask God for now. And it's good to ask God for what we need, isn't it? And perhaps in one of our more enlightened moments, we might say, well, we need more people in church. We don't just need our daily bread. We don't just need fine weather to do what we want to do, and those other kinds of prayers. Yes, pray for these things. And perhaps in one of our higher moments, we might pray that God would send more people to build up His church. Perhaps we might pray that God would transform the society around us into a Christian society. What does Paul pray on behalf of Christ's church in Colossae? Let's hear what he has to say, his summary. And as we look through this, let's note in the first place very briefly the reason for this prayer. Notice also the persistence of this prayer and the direction of this prayer. and then the main things, the content and the objective of this prayer. The reason, the persistence, the direction, the content, and the objective of this prayer. And I say this because these are the things that Paul has, especially in verse 9, and then building on that through the remaining verses of this section. For this reason, the reason for the prayer. Do you understand the reason he has in mind as you read that? What do you think? What reason is he talking about? Well, let's just pause a moment. It's nothing strange about this. He is referring back to something. And I think he is referring back to the reason for his being so thankful for them in the first place. He goes on to ask for something because he has been thankful for them. We have grace. Let us ask for more. This is a good foundation to approach the Lord and to be thankful, to be grateful for what he has given, but to know that we can only ask him for more of the same. There are things going on in you, he's saying, as he gives thanks, that lead me to ask for more for you. You are well. Ask for more. To stay well. You've done well in maybe in school. Well, don't stop there. Build on what you have succeeded in and make progress. Something similar to that. Paul has been giving thanks, and he gives thanks for what he has seen God working in their lives, because it tells him that God has good thoughts towards them. The Old Testament, one of the prophets is saying that God's thoughts are good towards those that he would take to himself. Well, if his thoughts are good, let's take God's own leading and ask that he will work good in you. It's this same reason, the things that he sees, the work of God in their lives that he could give thanks for, he also bases his requests upon that. The reason for the prayer. There is the persistence of this prayer. Since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you. He's really said it already, in a way, in verse 3. We give thanks, praying always for you. He wasn't just talking about his thanksgiving. He was talking about his prayers, that they are constant, that they are persistent, praying always for you. What a thing. The apostle praying for ordinary believers. There's two things that I see there. One, that it's wonderful, truly wonderful, to have someone who is so devoted to God to be praying for you, for us. So devoted to God, as Paul was. He tells us, we read in chapter 4, he's in chains for the gospel. And it's in the midst of that, what's he doing? He's praying for the Colossians, along with most of the other churches, if not all of them. What a wonderful thing for someone to be praying for us. And even if you are good at prayer, are you? Perhaps you need to answer that. Even if you are, to have anyone else praying for you, and to have someone who is so devoted to the Lord praying for you, it is a wonderful thing. It is a great blessing. But I think the other thing that Paul is indicated by Paul's persistence is simply to remind us that we need prayer. We need to seek God's help and his giving constantly. Doesn't the Lord say to Daniel, he'd been praying for 3 weeks, and doesn't the Lord say, I actually heard you the first day, but you still needed to go on praying? We need prayer. Need means that we need to work far more at it ourselves. not just for ourselves, yes, for ourselves, but for one another and for all our brothers and sisters throughout the churches, throughout the world. Yes, it's a great task, but let's set about it. But how do we know that we need prayer? Well, what does that mean to us? It means that we need to also be more and more aware of those places and parts of our lives where we do need God's grace. That's what prayer is about, is to ask God to be gracious to us and to work in our lives, to be aware of those things, to be alert to them and bring them before the Lord that He will answer. These are what we need to remember as Paul is saying, reminding the people. It's the second time within six verses that he says we're doing it always. It's significant. And are we praying in turn for Paul? He asks for that in chapter 4, where we read earlier. Are we praying for other believers always? Are we praying for those in situations such as Paul was, with the great importance of his task in God's kingdom? It was clearly so important, I think we can gauge it by the suffering that he bore for the sake of his work for Christ. Are we praying ourselves always, even as he has prayed for the church? There is also the direction of this prayer. There's the reason, there's the persistence, there's the direction of this prayer. In this verse, Paul does not say who he prays to, which way he directs that prayer. But it's surely no different. It's part of what he has been saying already. In verse 3, he is praying to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The direction of this prayer. Perhaps you think, well, isn't that where all prayer goes? Perhaps. Perhaps you think we don't need to say very much about this. But surely we need to think a great deal about it. We need to be very, very conscious of where our prayers are directed. It's so important to remember to whom we are turning, who we are asking to help us. Because it also means who we have to answer to for the way we use what He gives, how we live our lives. None of this is what we make of it. We must be praying to this God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not what we make of it. It is for us to humble ourselves and to cast ourselves entirely upon the Lord for His grace, for His help, for His strength. For the gifts that he must give, he only can give. And the gifts that Paul in particular asks for in just a moment. And that's why I stop and do emphasize this. Because this is the person that Paul has always been turning to for us, for the church. That's who he is going to. It's instructive as well as encouraging, as well as informative. It's instructive. It's telling us, I am praying, Paul is praying to the Lord. When he calls on us to pray, it is to the Lord as well. It must be. We must be coming to God if we are in any way going to live this Christian life that he then goes on to speak about. And so there briefly, the reason, the persistence, the direction of this prayer, and then a little more fully, the content of this prayer. He tells us what this prayer is. I am asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There are always so many things that we can and should be learning through what Paul tells us, but there is this main point that he is coming to as well. Perhaps this is what you've been waiting for, but we must get those first things right, or else this falls apart as well. question is, the request is, the petition, that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. What we need most, the first and the biggest thing, the main thing, the thing that fills Paul's prayers for the church, is that the church will be filled with the knowledge of God's will. This is the essential for life. Do you have a grasp of that? That that's where it fits. That that's where the emphasis that he places on it. The apostle of Christ. If we could grasp this, it would make a vast difference to the way that we think, which would therefore change our lives. Perhaps you have grasped it a little. Is there not more to follow? Isn't that the always praying for this? The ongoing filling that it would come to fulfillment ultimately. Plead with the Lord for this. That your knowledge will be full of the knowledge of His will. If you're filled with something, there's not much room for other things, is there? Maybe a very simple way of putting it, but let's put it that way. And get a sense of what this is all about. To be filled with the knowledge of God's will. Many people will turn around from time to time in life and say, well, what is God's will? How can I know what God's will is for me? Well, seek that you will be filled with the knowledge of His will, because then you will have all that you need to know. You can't have other things in there to misdirect you. It will be entirely sufficient if you are filled with this, that you will know what His will is. Because understand that looking for God's will is not simply what He would tell us to do step by step of our day. It is about Him as a person. It is about revealing what He is all about and coming to an understanding of that. And if you and I would understand what He is all about, then we will know where to go to follow Him, to serve Him, to please Him, as Paul says in a moment. It's about knowing God as He is. That's what the Bible is all about. It's not just a book, a map for us to find our steps. We'll know our steps when we see Him and we'll be pursuing Him to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Instead of that, we put so many other things first. You know the picture, perhaps I should do it in front of you, where you have a jar and you have different items of different sizes. There are some stones, pebbles perhaps from a beach in the south, or and then there's something else, some grit, and then there's some sand. And how do you fill that jar? If you put the sand in, the other things will be too much. They can't fit in. But you put the big bits in and then the other bits in, it fills it up. It becomes very compact. It's full. There are no spaces in it. Well, it is to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That we don't put the wrong things in first and prevent. Perhaps it's a good picture, isn't it? The sand is those small things that we get so preoccupied with in life. You put those in first and there's always space that is unfilled around the stones that go in afterwards. Put it the other way. Put the big things in first. Fill ourselves with those things. With the knowledge of God's will. But Paul adds to that, he wants us to know this will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Or perhaps we would appreciate it better if it was ordered slightly differently. Let's put it this way, with wisdom and understanding that are spiritual. The spiritual applies also to the wisdom. This is something that is under the direction of the true Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. Another essential. It's not just what you might be filled with, but the way you know what God makes known. It's not natural for man to follow God's wisdom. This is what is in view here. But you know what happens? When you know something, when you know anything, this is what was happening in Colossae. This happens very easily in our churches. This happens very easily in you. When you know something, anything, isn't there that little touch of glee when you can tell someone else who doesn't know it? Aren't you just so pleased with yourself? When you know something, you become proud of it so, so quickly. But that's not heavenly. That's not godly wisdom. Take a hold. Find James's letter. Read that. End of chapter 3. The wisdom that is from above is something very different from the wisdom of the world. God's wisdom, the spiritual wisdom, is of a very unexpected kind. It leads to a humble character, a humble approach to this knowledge. And if we truly knew God and God's will, as he's seeking here, if we know this in truth, then we will be humble. We will see ourselves before this great, this glorious God. And then we will have a different desire. We'll have a desire to use that knowledge for God and his sake in ways that please him. Because that is what God's will does reveal to us. That is what we should be about. God does also reveal in his will that he resists the proud. And to that there is no qualification or limitation. Whatever you might be proud of, if your boast is not in Christ and him crucified, God resists the proud. So there, very briefly once again, is the content, the heart of the content of Paul's prayers, is to be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, something that is very different from the way we might use knowledge according to the ways of this world. And we need to develop that further. We do that when we look at the objective of this prayer. It explains something of what this spiritual wisdom and understanding bring about. The content, but also the objective of this prayer. Many people want to know things. Colossians wanted to know inside knowledge. It is something that many of us have a delight in. Isn't the apostle therefore praying for exactly what men are looking for? Knowledge. And even knowledge of God. Knowledge is power to some people. Doesn't everyone look for this? To know and to understand great things, even spiritual things, the inner things. But isn't this Colossae he's writing to? If we go on through the letter and the things that we've read, doesn't Colossae actually know a good deal more? Aren't they very impressed with their knowledge? Isn't the Colossian church well known for its knowledge and its understanding? Aren't the Reformed churches of the 21st century well known for knowledge and understanding? But Paul is telling us that he knows that that's not all there is to it. There is the way that we take this knowledge, the way that we use this knowledge. And the use of this knowledge, the only right use of this knowledge, the demonstration of true wisdom and spiritual understanding, is that it works out in your walk, your life. This is all in order. His prayer is all in order. That they, that we, may have a walk worthy of the Lord. One that fits with God. One that is fully pleasing him. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He says it's all about the kind of life that we're living. If we have knowledge, it must be put into practice. What is the knowledge of God's will? A godly life in wisdom, in understanding. and for a man before God in humility as well. What is knowledge for? For you to be impressed with yourself? Or to impress other people? This knowledge, knowing the will of God, it's the knowledge that tells you you must live for Him, not for yourself. For Him, worthy of Him. That's what it's all about. The real knowledge of God, not just something that's in the head, that's learned from a page of a book, but something that's in the heart. The real knowledge of God will mean a transformed life. A new quality to it and a new direction. You make a choice and it will be what honors the Lord. You're filled with the knowledge of Him. It's that's worthy of the Lord. Your one standard in life will be to ask, what is it that pleases God? There was a phase, and it lingers a little, what would Jesus do? He would do just that. What does please the Father? Not with eye service as men pleases, but as servants of the Lord, in chapter 4 of this letter. What does please Him? And then Paul helpfully describes how we can recognize what pleases the Lord, and that is to be fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These two things are very much like faith and repentance. You can't have one without the other. If you are fruitful in every good work, it's the open evidence of an ongoing growing in the knowledge of God. It was Jesus who said in John 15 that those who follow Him, or who believe in Him, who trust in Him, who serve Him, they're like branches on a vine, and they find their life in the vine. If you have a true knowledge of God, it bears out fruit. By their fruit, you will know them. If there is progress, real progress, knowing God, it must lead to fruit. These two things are tests for one another. How can this be? Well, Paul reminds us it is to be, comes about by being strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power. He's meaning that the things that are seen, the fruit in every good work, the knowledge of God, which they evidence, the knowledge of God which is underneath these things, they're brought about, they must be brought about, they can only be brought about by the strength that God Himself provides, by His indwelling Spirit. There is no other explanation. And see what this might is, with all might. Is this glorious power. What comes immediately to mind is it's this very same power which raised Jesus from the dead. And God puts this into the heart and the life of those who would serve Him, who would pray this prayer with earnestness and desire. This great power that raised Jesus from the dead and from the grave is what works in men and women and children to please God. We need that work, because the path will not be comfortable. It may only be short for a few. We may need to face it. Most probably we'll need to face it with all patience and long suffering, with joy, like children waiting in Legoland for the ride. And that comes to Paul's closing clause in this long sentence, not as long as some that he's written, but it's long enough. And what is he doing? He joins in himself into what he is thankful for them. He prays not just for you, but he's giving thanks for something for us. Giving thanks in verse 12 to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Yes, there's a great measure still to be found, great deal of growth still to be sought, but He has qualified us. It has been done in Jesus. The inheritance of the saints is Jesus Himself and the presence of the Father. And so he gives thanks that Paul shares this with them. who needs so much prayer, but for whom he can also give so much thanks. And so he looks forward so positively, so strongly. But it is the persuasion to seek these other great and good gifts. So here we have the prayer of an apostle for a church. He puts first things first. What he's asking is that they should have growth in the knowledge of God and his will. That knowledge which will bring with it, that must be accompanied by, and will bring with it, spiritual wisdom and understanding. Something very distinct from anything wisdom and understanding of this world. Paul knows, and he therefore reminds us, that it is that very knowledge which brings forth the life that pleases God. When you profess the name of Christ as Savior, can you desire anything but a life that pleases God? That should be our prayer, your prayer. Knowledge in the head is fine. It is important. But it's only one step towards fulfilling what God has called you to. There is so much more. It is its implanting. It's growing throughout our lives that it should fill us. No one is able to live in a way that pleases God if you do it on your own. And that's why we have this model prayer. Surely it's the prayer that the Lord Jesus himself offers on behalf of his people, as he is there with his Father in heaven. Make it the prayer of your own heart, for yourself, and for everyone who professes the name of the Lord. If you love them, pray this for them. Have an earnest desire and a truth in your spirit in taking this prayer. It's the simple pattern that is laid out for us that leads to this great hope, this inheritance laid up for us in heaven if you trust and serve the Lord. That's what this prayer is all about. And let us pray this for one another. Pray it for the church in this world. It's our great need. It's the great need of the world. But it's also the Lord's own great desire. And then his name will be found in the earth. May God bless his word to us then. Let us pray together.